Welcome to Alternate Reality, episode 381.
In first grade, I read my first one, Peter Parker vs. Doc Octopus in New York. I remember opening the pages, leafing through the ads, staring in amazement. Amazing. When I was 8, Mom made me a cape. It was a blanket with a safety pin I'd wear around my neck. She left for work, and I'd take out the marker box, color my forearms green, and pretend I was the Hulk. The comic store hit a portal into other worlds, where awkward nerds became brave and even got the girl. Just a boy, barely even into puberty. These books gave me a vision.
Alternate Reality is a podcast about comics, comic-related media, and comic-related merchandise. We do reviews of all sorts, TV, video games, movies, and comic issues. So be warned, the following show material contains spoilers. If you have not read your books, seen the movies, played the games, so forth and so on, then you may want to stop the show until you have done so, or you can proceed at your own caution. You have been warned. Nerd!
Hello and welcome to Alternate Reality, the comic book podcast. My name is John.
I'm Charlie.
And we're back once again. Hasn't been that long since we were last here. And so we told you we would try to do a few more episodes on and off here and there when we could. And so we're back. Talking about all things to do with comics, movies, TVs, video games, whatever might come up, floats our boat, and tickles our fancy that we want to talk about. We used to be called the comic book podcast, and Charlie says we still are. So, he said we're still better than 80% of all other comic book podcasts out there. That might not be hard, because it seems like comic book podcasts aren't what they used to be. They seem like they're fading away. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but it seems like it's a dying... Like, there's a lot of comic book podcasts still out there, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying you can't find them. But I'm saying the big ones, the mainstays, so many of them are gone altogether, and so many of them have changed or become so watered down that they're just not what they used to be. And so I don't know that comic book podcasting is the thing that it used to be. But maybe that's another topic for another day. Charlie, how you doing?
All right.
It's been good to be back on the air with you. We don't have anybody on with us tonight. We're kind of alone, flying solo, not to make fun of Han Solo, who's flying again, and we'll talk more about that later. But we are flying solo, not just me and Charlie, like old times. And so it would be at this point in the show that we normally would say, all right, well, here are the comic books that we talked about or read this past week, and we're going to talk about them. But as you know, I'm not reading comic books the way I used to. So I have to rely on Charlie to tell me what's going on in the world of comics. But we'll get to that. We're going to maintain our focus for right now on just the mass media market, things like movies, TV shows, video games, things like that, that I'm a little more up to date on. And then we'll transition to a little comic talk here, maybe probably at the end. So the big thing, I think, that everybody's kind of been talking about the last few weeks since we were on last is the Daredevil TV show that Netflix put out, Charlie.
Yeah.
You know, I sat down and binged watched this thing. 13 hours of this, all kind of in one shot. I came in, my wife had a medical procedure at the hospital early that Friday morning. This has been Friday 2 weeks ago, or Friday 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, I guess. Damn. Yeah, so my wife had a medical procedure. She was done, because it was an outpatient kind of thing, she was done by like 12 o'clock. We were home by like 1 or 1:30, and I kind of laid her down so she could rest. And then I took the day off from work. So I come in my room here, and I said, well, you know, Daredevil's out, I'm excited. And I sat down, and I plowed through that all afternoon, and I couldn't stop. I was like episode 5 or 6, and... You know, it's supper time, and I stopped to eat supper, and I went right back to it and plowed all the way through to like 11 or 12 o'clock. And I was like, well, I don't have to be up in the morning, so I'm going to keep watching. I watched until like 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the morning before I finally got done with it. 13 hours of TV straight in one sitting. I just completely binged on that. So that's how good it was. It captivated my attention and had me just stuck right there. I couldn't go anywhere. I couldn't do anything. It was all I could do. Just to, you know, have to get up and go to the restroom every so often. I was just captivated by it. So, Charlie, you watched as well.
Yeah.
Did you binge or did you just catch it here and there?
Over like 3 days, I watched the whole thing because I went to West Virginia on that Saturday, came back Sunday afternoon, I think. And, yeah, I watched it.
Yeah, so, I mean, everybody's watched it.
I mean.
But you stayed right after till you got through with it.
Do
I? Yeah. Yeah, you mean you didn't watch one episode here and another episode next week. You just.
I watched like four or five the first day on Friday and then watched the rest of it on Sunday when I came back home.
Right, so the first chance you got in and finished it. So, all right.
My biggest problem with the whole thing was like I didn't care for like Wilson Fisk's voice. It's like, yes.
You didn't like it?
The painting. Yes.
He was playing him a little melodramatic, perhaps.
It's over the top. And that was.
Well, what'd you expect him to sound like? Like the 90s era cartoon?
Well, he could have talked like normal and that would have been fine. Someone said that he was playing it more psychopathic than other characters. So, mm-hmm. Like, when he was with Veronica. Was that her name?
No, it's Vivian or something like that. It starts with a V. What is her name? Victoria? No. Crap. What is Kingpin's girlfriend's name? Google. But anyway, when he was with his girlfriend.
That he, like, spoke more normally.
Yeah.
And that was better, I think.
Kingpin's girlfriend. Vanessa,
yeah.
Vanessa. I knew it started with a V.
When he talked to Vanessa, it seemed like he was much more coherent and everything. And
she grounds him.
Well, she kind of does because my whole thing was like, when's he going to put on the white suit? He's got to have the white suit on.
Yeah.
The white suit is what I'm waiting for in a Kingpin character. And at the end of the series.
Did Michael Clark Duncan wear a white suit?
No, it was gray or silver. But the thing, but that's what I'm saying. It's like I was waiting for the white suit the whole time, and like the end of the show, he goes from black to a lighter gray color, and I was like, really? You know,
he's transitioning. He'll get there eventually.
But that's what I'm saying. It's because of Vanessa that's helping him to
develop into that character.
To be a better
well, I mean,
villain,
we see
I
his
guess.
Character arc. You know, we're talking more about Kingpin than we are Daredevil, but we see his character arc over the course.
Someone said that's basically what the show was.
Was Kingpin's character arc?
Yeah.
So we see his character arc from the beginning of the show to the end. And for whatever reason, you can call him megamaniacal, you can call him evil, you can call him vindictive, you can call him manipulative, and he is all those things. But at the end of the day, I think Kingpin, up until the end of the series, of the first series, believed that his intentions, while brutal and harsh, were altruistic in nature. He really believed that the things he was doing, even though it meant murdering people and stealing from people and being ruthless and cutthroat, he really believed at the end of the day it would make New York and Hell's Kitchen in particular a better place. He really did have an end vision, an end goal for this city in mind. He really wanted.
Did he, or was that really a?
No, I think he did. I think he. I don't think that was just a front to make money, because there's easier ways to make money. I really think he actually believed that on some level that at the end of the day, he had to be the bad guy in order to save the city. Because that was what it would take to save the city.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like that was just his fallback, like, answer for it.
But you get him transitioning from that point of view over the course of the series to the end when he finally realizes that he's been painted into a corner now, and there's nothing he can do except completely embrace the darkness of his character, completely embrace who he is, which is the ultimate bad guy, and his willingness. And so gone is the facade of trying to be a normal businessman who just has secret underhand dealings. He has, by the end of the series, completely embraced his criminal moniker, his criminal empire, his criminal who he is as a villain, and he's there. It's almost like he had two sides to him. It was a Jekyll Hyde kind of thing, and By the end of this first series, he's completely purged himself of the Dr. Jekyll part of himself, the one that believed he was doing something good. And by the end of it, he doesn't care anymore. He's just going to be evil, and he's going to hurt people because he wants to. And so that was his character arc, as I saw it. And it was good. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it. Like I said, I didn't see much wrong with it. There were bits and pieces that I could...
Who was the standout character in the series?
I definitely enjoyed Ben Urich's character.
I did, and I was surprised. Spoiler warning: was surprised that they killed him.
And I really enjoyed Night Nurse.
Yes, I liked her too.
Rosario Dawson is always great.
How did you feel about Foggy? I did not enjoy his character.
I liked his character too.
I was liking him up until you got to that middle part, or that two-thirds of the way in, maybe, where he finds out that Matt is Daredevil, and then he got completely unlikable for about 5 episodes because he just couldn't deal with the fact that Matt had lied to him, and we're buddies, and we don't keep secrets. And if I found out my best friend was a superhero, I'd be like, dude, that's awesome. You know, I just completely couldn't identify with his role or his position at that point.
You got to realize, too, that they are lawyers, and any time that something like that would happen to one of the lawyers, that would discredit one of them or even the whole team. So,
yeah.
You got
to
imagine.
I understand there might be a professional problem, but to say that you just feel betrayed and blah, blah, I don't know. I think during that phase, he was really.
I think his biggest problem was he thought that Matt could see. So every time, like, they would say something like, oh, man, that girl over there likes you. And he's like, no, because, you know.
So he was always commenting through the show that Matt somehow managed to always end up with pretty girls, even though he's blind. Yeah. How can he tell?
That's what I'm saying. I think that he just feels like Matt's been like, well.
Like he's been using him?
Yeah.
Taking advantage of him?
Yeah.
Maybe.
I like how they slipped that whole little Elektra thing in.
Which Elektra thing?
Well, you know, he goes, oh, well, you were, what's the language that he wanted to learn how to speak?
Oh, Farsi or something like that.
Like Farsi or whatever.
Yeah.
And Matt tells him, well, you're just doing that to get a girl. And he's like, what about you? You learned Spanish.
Oh, is that what that was a reference to?
Yeah. He goes, what are you talking about? He's like, you learned Spanish just to date that Greek girl. And that was Elektra.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty cool. I was supremely surprised with Rosario Dawson. I really enjoyed her.
I did too. She was good. And the fact that they had a brief romance early in the show was interesting.
I was like, you two can't do that. She's saving herself for Benedict Cumberbatch.
Doctor Strange. I read Brian K. Vaughan's The Oath. I know what happens between them. What about Karen Page? I'm a little disappointed she's not a porn star.
Well, no, she went into that later on in life, remember?
She didn't start out that way?
Yeah, she didn't start out that way. You know, my whole thing watching the show, I was like, man, Foggy and Karen have a problem. They really do. And it starts to show you Karen's addictive nature.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time Karen and Foggy get together, what are they doing?
They go drink.
They go drinking.
And not just a little shot or two.
No, they go full out.
They go falling down drunk by the time they get home.
But that's what I'm saying. It's a good thing because it shows Karen's addictive nature.
Yeah.
And that she could be the drug addict. She could fall into the porn industry or whatever. I was like, I don't know if I really see her ever getting together with Matt, though.
And well, they clearly have got to
do that.
Well, don't they just kind of have to? I mean, it's one of Matt's biggest loves of his life.
Well, yeah, but
how can you have her as a mainstay character and not do that? I mean, it's like having a Superman movie with Lois Lane in it where they're not dating. Oh, wait a minute. I guess that could happen.
I'm just saying it may not. I don't know how it's going to go into it. I mean, depending on how long the show runs, too.
Yeah, well, it's already
so far the longest series on Netflix is Orange is the New Black and House of Cards, and they're in their fourth season.
Third for House of Cards.
But either way, that's what I'm saying. It's like, that's where they're at now.
It's been renewed for a second season already. So we've seen that. So we'll hope that it runs and continues to run. I enjoyed it immensely. And I like the fact that just because they were on Netflix and they had some liberty to be a little more adult, they didn't go that way.
Yeah, right. What are you talking about? Didn't go more adult.
No, I'm saying,
is it not me, the guy who saw the guy run his head through a steel spire and impale himself? Or,
well, yeah, but they weren't completely gruesome about it. But here's the thing:
it's gruesome enough.
What I'm saying was, you could have went the HBO route. All right, the HBO is 4,000 F-bombs every other sentence, boobs everywhere.
I was surprised they didn't, and I think it would have grounded the show in a more realistic tone.
Well, I'm glad they didn't, because my son wanted to watch it, and I'm glad that he got to, because it wasn't like that.
But do you think they will in the next season, as they went that far in this season?
Anything's possible. I don't know. I hope they don't. I hope they keep it about where it was at. You know, I think I could count on one hand the bad words or the expletives that was used in the course of the series. And I just, that's, you know, and they were mild at best.
And then the whole steel serpent hint and tease. And
Who was that Stick was talking to at the end of that episode?
Say his name is Stone, and he's part of that whole society that Stick was involved in.
And what, did they have anything to do with the hand?
No. Apparently, they have something to do with Kunlun.
Okay.
Because that's the older...
Well, I know that older lady made reference to a mystical city that didn't exist. Yeah. And they had those little packages of drugs, and it had the little Iron Serpent Fist logo on it.
The Steel Serpent's logo.
So I caught that, and I was like, oh my God, that's a little Easter egg. I don't know if anybody noticed that. Well, sure.
Did you notice Gladiator?
Uh-uh.
He's the guy who actually made the suit.
Okay.
Because if you notice, like, in the background, he had diagrams of the soul blades. I'm talking about the original Gladiator.
Okay.
Not the X-Men Gladiator.
Okay.
The guy with the soul blades on his arm.
Yeah.
And apparently, like, Stilt Man's costume is in the background.
Well, no, I kind of missed that. But it was dark in that workshop. It's hard to see in there. So Daredevil's in this black costume through the whole course of the show. It's like black ninja outfit.
Well, I just like the fact that, like, when everyone saw the black outfit, they're like, oh, I bet he's only in it for, like, the first episode, and the rest of the time it's that other costume. I was like,
nope. He doesn't get his traditional red outfit until
it's not really red. It's black and red, which harkens back to, someone said, one of the worst costumes that he's ever been in, and that's the armored costume.
Well, I guess they didn't want to put him in spandex, which essentially is all Daredevil has on, for the most part, is spandex. They felt like if he was in knife fights and sword fights and stuff, he'd need some kind of body protection. But well, I like...
What I'm saying is, I think it's a progression. That's a fursuit.
Might be.
And
I mean, what do you want him... You want him to be in Affleck's suit? You know, all leather, red leather suit? You know, I don't know.
Well, my problem with that whole suit was his cowl seemed... His headpiece seemed, like, completely different than the rest of his costume.
It was black with red highlights, really, is what it was. And so it's basically, it's, you know how Batman Begins his armor, or no, I'm more like Batman Dark Knight's armor, was like with black with the exoskeletal pieces on it. This is kind of what it was like, except imagine those exoskeletal pieces, those armor plates, are red. So it's like black woven cloth underneath with the red plates on it in places. Well, that's what it looks like. So,
well, yeah, but what I'm saying is it harkens back to that old iron suit that he used to wear, but that's fine.
Well, he made the reference that he couldn't wear body armor. It was too heavy. And then he ended up in a body armor suit. Yeah, it was a little weird.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think it's a progression.
Overall, it was very good, and I enjoyed it a lot. I'm hoping that they'll come out and and have the you know stellar second season when
well,
it comes
someone
in.
Said like that the apparently like the second season may come out in like October.
Oh, that'd be quick.
I kind of wonder what like the money situation is with Netflix. You know, it's like how do they green light a new season? How much money do they spend? How much?
Yeah, I don't know how they
make them a show.
I don't know how they budget for it and stuff without advertisers. You know, so I don't know how much of their operating budget they want to allocate to a new season, because really the only money they get is subscription money, but they're going to get that anyway.
Yeah.
So it's not like every time you do a new show, you're going to get new subscribers. How many people signed up for Netflix just because Daredevil was on there?
Or how many people used the 1 month free trial and binge watched it and
quit?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, who knows? That's my one real question. How do
they make money?
How do they make money?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I know they're probably going to get new subscribers because of Daredevil.
Yeah, but how do you quantify it? How do you know how many new subscribers you got because of Daredevil? You know, that would be the hard part.
Well, the thing is, Netflix got good word of mouth now with like Arrested Development.
They've put out some quality programming. Black,
House of Cards. The
House of Cards is phenomenal.
They're doing a sequel to Red Hot American Summer, which apparently is popular.
So. Right. And Netflix is the kind of place that if a show doesn't make it in one spot, they'll pick it up. Which is kind of what a lot of people are hoping will happen to Constantine. So, and it's because NBC has just more or less said, you know, we're not doing Constantine anymore.
Well, they haven't canceled it yet.
But they've not renewed it either, which is doesn't look good. So.
Well, someone said if you start, like, streaming that and whatever, watching it.
Yeah, I know they had a push the other day where they wanted everybody to go stream it. I didn't do it. I was busy.
Of course you were.
I'm always busy. That's why we don't do very many of these shows. All right. Transitioning, moving topics. We've got an Avengers movie coming up this weekend. My son will turn 16 on May the 1st, the day that Avengers 2 will come out. So if the fact that we're in our second Avengers movie after seeing the process start with Iron Man in 2006 or 2007, I forget what year it started. Here we are. 2008. Here we are, however many years later. And not only that, but my child is turning 16 years old. We've been at this superhero movie game for a long time, Charlie. It really is a fad that I thought would be long since played out by now.
Well, I think it started beforehand with the X-Men movies and movies.
Well, I tell you where it started. It started before then. It started with Blade.
Yeah, probably.
Blade was the first comic book movie that, since Superman, because the Batman franchise in the 90s killed comic book movies. All right, so after Batman and Robin, superhero movies were dead in the water. But then about, what, 98, 99, 2000, I forget what year Blade came out. Blade came out, Wesley Snipes, it's kind of an underground cult hit.
98.
But it was phenomenal. The people who loved it, loved it. And they loved it well enough that it spawned two sequels. And it wasn't long after that that the X-Men got the kick to go ahead. And X-Men did fantastic. And so here we're starting to pick up steam now. So we've got X-Men coming out. Then suddenly we've got Spider-Man's greenlit. Where'd that come from? And suddenly you've got a Spider-Man movie. And Spider-Man makes $114 million opening weekend or something like that when it came out. And it was an unheard of thing. And suddenly superheroes are all over the place. And we've got Fantastic Four. We've got Spider-Man. We've got Ang Lee's Hulk coming out. We've got Batman Begins shortly about that time. I mean, just superhero movies are all over the place. And I remember commenting, it's about 2005, 2006, about the time Iron Man's getting ready to come out. And I remember commenting, I said, you know what? This superhero movie phase we're in right now is great, but it cannot last. It cannot sustain itself because I think eventually the public will tire of superhero movies and they'll fade away. And then you won't have any for a decade or two.
Yeah, that's what you said.
That's exactly what I said, and I could not have been more wrong. here we are, 2015, still going strong. And not only are we going strong, but have you seen the slate of movies that DC and Marvel have announced over the next 10 to 15 years?
Well, I think the Disney slot of movies is crazy. If you saw the
If you expand it to all of Disney's properties, it is crazy.
Well, yeah, the picture. Well, yeah, but that's what I'm saying. It's like Green Cap's picture that he retweeted a couple weeks ago is basically like boom, 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 yeah. Boom, boom.
Whether it's Pirates of the Caribbean, Star Wars, Marvel Cinematic Universe. Whatever property that
even like the co-produced DreamWorks Ghost in the Shell, and I was like, Ghost in the Shell, what?
Pixar, you know, they got like another Toy Story movie coming out. It just it's like Marvel's that picture of their upcoming film slate. Someone said it was like how to make $1 billion, you know, and that I was just like, wow, that is just amazing. And then you couple that with all the DC movies that Warner Brothers has announced. I don't know. I just have no faith in Warner Brothers' ability to make good superhero movies. We'll see. We'll see.
The and Suicide. You liked Man of Steel.
Huh?
And you say that and you liked Man of Steel.
I liked pieces of the Man of Steel. Overall, I still don't think it was particularly a good movie.
That's not what you said when we reviewed it.
That's what I'm saying now. Do we have the tape? Can we go back and listen to it?
I could probably find it.
Well, I'd like, you know, I'd like to hear. I don't know. I was happy that we made a Superman movie because there are to be Superman movies being made.
Pretty sure you said it was the best.
No, I don't recall saying that. I think I clearly had problems with the movie.
I don't think you had very many of them.
Well, in hindsight, I've got problems with it. Maybe I was too euphoric when I walked out of that movie about the fact that there was a Superman movie made.
It was decent.
And I tell you what burns my grits is I'm sitting here watching Arrow. And here's Brandon Roth on screen playing the freaking Atom.
He's Superman.
He's Superman. He'll always be Superman. And every time I see him on the screen, I said, oh my God, it's Superman. The only thing that makes him worth watching, the only thing that makes the Atom worth watching in the Arrow movie, TV show universe, is the fact that he is Brandon Roth as the Atom. Because if he was anybody else as the Atom, that character I don't think would be particularly interesting. Particularly the way they tend to be going with his character, which is not a size-shrinking superhero. It's an Iron Man ripoff.
Well, they kind of gave an end to that if they wanted to do that.
Well, yeah, he said something the other day about, oh, the secret is to go smaller. So it was a tongue-in-cheek way of saying
he was sick and they used the nanites to shrink.
The blood clot?
Yeah. They could use that to, like, oh, they went a little haywire and now I can...
I think they're eventually going to get there. But the way he is as of now is completely uninteresting. Because as he is right now, he's strictly an Iron Man ripoff in a worse costume.
Yeah, he's Iron Man.
He's exactly what he is. He's got, like, repulsor blasts and everything. He's a...
He's even got, like, the bolts, like, when he walks in his legs where, like, you can actually see them turning.
Yeah, like the gyro gears and stuff.
But I can't help it. I really, really enjoy him on that show.
Only because he's Brandon Roth and he's got a freaking ton of charisma and he's super likable.
Well, duh.
That's the only reason. And I swear to God, if they were making Superman movies today and he was in it, he would be fantastic. Now, I like Henry Cavill, and Henry Cavill's got a slightly better physique than Brandon Roth. But Brandon Roth looks
a hawk.
Brandon Roth looks more like Superman. I'm sorry, I just can't help it. And maybe it's because I was born and raised in the Christopher Reeve era, but that's what Brandon Roth, that's what Superman ought to look like. And it's not his fault that Bryan Singer made a horrible Superman movie. He was good in it. But we've
held it on the head right there.
It
was him making a terrible movie. Bryan Singer making a terrible movie. It was all on him.
I've ranted about this before. I just feel like it's just a shame that Brandon Roth paid the price for that movie. And because I could have easily watched him in 3 or 4 sequels after that. So that's just me. Assuming that they had been written and directed by somebody that made it better. But you know, but the thing about it is I don't know that like Man of Steel is a better movie. The only thing that was better about it was that it had more action in it. That is the big critique of Superman Returns is that it was slow. It was really slow. Notwithstanding the very awesome airplane rescue scene in the middle of the movie, which really is the standout scene of the movie.
The middle is like the first 15 minutes of the freaking film.
Well, it's maybe a third of the way in or something like that. But anyway, that was the standout scene of the movie. No doubt about it. That was the best part of it. But my point is...
Then he shoots some rocks that are falling off a building so it doesn't crush people. Then he lifts a big rock.
It was a freaking island. Let's see you lift a freaking island. Laced with kryptonite, I might add.
Which should have killed him. So
and the kryptonite, well, it practically did. He fell to Earth and everybody thought he was dead.
And he became human for like 5 seconds. Uh-oh.
No, I agree. It wasn't a great movie. But he was fantastic. And I just, it pains me to watch him on Arrow not be Superman. He ought to be Superman. But
he should be that universe's Superman.
That would be fine with me. Leave Cavill in the movie universe and let him be Superman in the TV universe because they have said they're different universes. So why can't we have different characters, but different actors play the same roles?
Well, heck, even Joss Whedon said Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. wasn't even in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I don't know how he can make that statement after the first season, which led directly into the Captain America Winter Soldier movie.
What about the one that's going to lead directly into Age of Ultron?
Does this one lead into that?
Apparently.
Because I thought this one was playing up into the Avengers and the Inhuman stuff that was coming down the road.
Well, that's what Scarlet and... Witch and Quicksilver are. They're Inhumans.
They're Inhumans? I thought they were mutants. Not in the movie universe?
No, they can't be.
Well, I know. I wondered how they were going to work that in or just not say anything about it.
Yeah, they're Inhumans.
Oh. That's weird. I didn't know that. Okay. Well, you learn something new every day.
They can't say they're mutants because they don't own mutants.
Yeah, but they worked out the deal for Spider-Man. I figured they'd work out a deal on that.
You'd think they worked out the deal for the mutant thing.
Well, just for the word.
That's why they're canceling. That's why they killed Wolverine. And that's why they killed Deadpool. And that's why they're getting rid of the Fantastic Four comic book. Because they worked out a deal.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying I was hopeful that they would work out a deal whereby they could call Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver mutants.
Nope.
Okay, well, maybe not. So anyway, so Avengers is coming up. This looks really good. I'm particularly excited. As you watch the trailers, Charlie, what's the thing that kind of buzzes you the most?
The Hulkbuster Iron Man.
Yes, absolutely. I got to see that. Now, the question remains, and maybe we've talked about this before.
Because I seriously am thinking about buying that Hulkbuster Iron Man sideshow statue.
Oh, my God. How much is that thing?
I think they said it's going to run $600.
Oh, my God. You're a freak. You got a lot of disposable income is the only thing I can figure out. Which I'm glad of. Charlie bought me a very nice present the other day, and it's his birthday, not mine.
My birthday's not tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. Charlie's birthday is tomorrow. He's going to be... Like,
not that it matters, because whenever this is brought out, it will be way past it.
Well, yeah. By the time you hear this, it will have already come and gone. But so Charlie will be older than me officially tomorrow. And so it's his birthday. Oddly enough, he bought me a present for his birthday.
I had it months ago, but...
He's been holding it all this time.
Well, no, I didn't have it. But when it came out, our store got like 3 of them. And someone bought one, someone bought the other one. I was going to buy the other one, but what we didn't know was that the owner of the store had promised it to somebody else.
Oh, so how'd you end up with it then?
Well, we had to reorder another one.
Oh, okay. Well, still, you ended up paying for this thing. It ain't like you got one damaged and you got it half off or nothing like that.
Yeah, so. It was basically in trade, most of it.
So... Charlie brings me this awesome... I've already got
so like the... Like I said, I don't really call it paying for it.
What?
Not unlike my Wonder Woman out there, which I paid for 90% of it.
So, what brand is that? The Cotobacaya?
Yeah.
God, so you got me the Cotobacaya Wonder Woman, which is a matching piece to the Cotobacaya Superman that he already got me last year. This For Tomorrow statue. Based off of Jim Lee art. I don't know what particular... Is
She's
it?
She's not really...
Based off anything?
Yeah. And then
just an internal design.
And then the Batman one is just, I think, just called a Dark Knight.
So I tweeted a picture of it the other day when he left it at my house. He caught me not here, left it at my house on the doorstep. Thank God nobody stole it, and or that it didn't rain or anything on it. And
like I said, you said you were at work.
I was, but neither here nor there. But I got home and I found the thing, and it was so awesome. And now it's Charlie's birthday, and I really don't have anything to get him because I'm broke. But I will make it up to him when I get paid next month. I've kind of got an idea what I want to do for it.
They call it an artifact statue.
The artifact statue. Sweet. So, like I said, I tweeted and Facebooked a picture of this. If you're on social media, you go back and check my history. You should be able to see it. It is gorgeous. And these things are what? Are they 8-9 inches tall? Are they 10 inches tall? That's not a foot.
They're about the size of a sideshow Superman there, so they're about 8 inches, 8.5 inches.
Yeah, I was going to say 8 or 9 inches tall. Anyway, both of them gorgeous. There's a third piece, the Batman piece that for the matching set, which I would love to have, but Charlie said there's no way in heck he's buying that one for me. And I've got to figure out how to scratch enough money together to maybe try to get that while it can be got. So, but that was awesome. But anyway, we're off topic. So you're talking about the Hulkbuster armor because you're most excited about the Hulkbuster Hulk fight in Age of Ultron Avengers movie. I agree with you. That scene does look like the most exciting thing, and I really, really, really want to see it. My question is, and I forget if we've asked this before, what leads up to that fight? Is that like Ultron has taken over the Hulkbuster armor remotely?
No.
Or is that the Hulk has to be brought in because he's out of control and Tony uses the armor to bring him in?
From what I understand, they've screwed up Scarlet Witch's powers, so now she has mind control. And she's already working with Ultron.
Really?
Her and Quicksilver.
So she's mind controlling the Hulk and making him go on some kind of rampage or something. Yeah. Okay.
So Tony has to get the modular Hulkbuster armor, which forms around his regular Mark, I think 46 or 47 in this one.
Yeah. 42 was the flying armor that flew onto him, wasn't it?
I think that was the 46.
Oh, maybe it was.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like apparently this one forms around him. And then they showed a trailer a couple weeks ago where it was part of that fight. And the Hulk rips his arm off. And then all of a sudden, like, Tony, like, sends a message. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, more pieces come down and starts to make another arm.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is kind of cool.
So, pretty cool. So, that's the best-looking thing, I think, in the whole movie. But it'll all be kick-butt all the way through. And it sets the stage for a lot of distrust and angst, which will lead into Captain America Civil War, which will be hopefully the movie that they say they're going to introduce Spider-Man into the cinematic Marvel Universe. So, a lot of really, really cool things coming up for the Marvel CMU. Or MCU, excuse me.
And then apparently Doctor Strange is going to appear in Daredevil before his movie. So,
oh really? Okay, I hadn't heard that. That would be awesome.
And then Black Panther,
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Benedict.
How excited am I for that? Benedict Cumberbatch is Doctor Strange. That is going to be awesome.
Black Panther and Thor 3.
Now
Ragnarok.
The only thing that kind of depresses me about the whole thing is they're talking about, at some point, Robert Downey Jr. being the oldest of the Avengers cast. At some point, he's going to have to step away from the character.
Well, apparently he is after this movie.
Oh, really? After this movie? Yeah. Well, no, we know he's in Captain America Civil War, don't we?
No.
I was sure that he was.
Pretty sure this is his last Iron Man movie.
Because he's tweeted the other day that he would play the role until death if he had the opportunity to.
Yeah, it's not from what I understand, but, you know, who knows?
Who knows? But at some point, I feel like...
I mean, he is executive producer, so, like I said...
He can do what he wants to.
He could not be there and still make $200 million.
But the point is that he... At some point, they're going to have to transition away from these current slate of Avengers.
Yeah, and go to your second.
And go to your second string, and then cycle out of that those cast members. And then cycle back into them so many years later Captain America's back on the team, Thor's back on the team, Iron Man's back on the team, but now we've got a new Thor, new Cap, new Iron Man.
Well, Captain America's out, Falcon takes over.
Right. But at some point, they're going to want to have a Steve Rogers back in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. But I figure if that character goes away for 5 or 6 years, then by the time they come back and phase him back in, you've stepped away from him long enough that you can use a different actor.
Yeah, you recast.
Yeah.
Recast.
So that'll give you know, like if Thor goes through a Ragnarok storyline and he dies, then Thor's dead for a while. So Thor's dead for a while. There's no Thor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe for 6, 7, 8 years, maybe. Then all of a sudden, a big event comes up and Thor steps back in the scene. And as far as the universe is concerned, the same old Thor, but we'll recognize that it's a new actor. That's the kind of thing that's going to happen, which is why they're setting up all these second-tier characters, your Inhumans, your Ant-Man, those people like that, who will eventually be your new Avengers roster after these Tier 1 Avengers step away for a while.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's what's going to happen. We got a Star Wars trailer out, Charlie.
Yep.
Are people more excited for Star Wars or Avengers?
Probably.
I mean, it's
Avengers
Christmas for
right
geeks all the way around, but
probably Avengers right now. And speaking of Christmas, that's when Star Wars comes out.
But it's,
which I find that extremely odd. I think that may be pushed
till next
by the time it's done.
Could be. So, but this Star Wars trailer, we had the small teaser, and then we've had a more extended trailer now,
yeah,
and
with more of the new Empire, which isn't being called the Empire, from what I understand.
So the cinematography looks good in it. I mean, you've got that one scene where there's like a X-Wing flying across the desert and there's that downed Star Destroyer in the background. I mean, the cinematography looks
good. But you know, that's funny because that came off of a fan-made thing.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
That's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'd have to find it. But yeah, it's like someone like...
just somebody did some artwork or something? That's cool.
And they actually kind of used it for...
And at some point, you see during that trailer that the Millennium Falcon ends up flying through the husk of this downed Star Destroyer.
That's
going to be awesome. So you see the Millennium Falcon in the teaser and in this movie. But in this trailer, we hear the voiceover of Luke talking to somebody about Force powers. My father has it. I have it. My sister has it. And you have it. So it's somebody in Luke's family, a next generation. I don't know if it's the child of Han and Leia or if it's his own child. But this is the protege of the next generation of Jedi, whoever this is. And there's obviously a Sith character because we've seen him from, the early trailers with the cross hilt lightsaber.
Yep.
And then
we've got
Han and Chewie making their first appearance in the trailer, and old grizzled Han like, "Chewie, we're home." And I tweeted,
"Stop smoking weed and cigarettes."
what Harrison Ford needs to do is quit having airplane crashes. That's what he needs to do. That guy's lucky to be alive. But anyway, I was watching that trailer and it's like, wow, Han, you know, Chewie looks the same. Apparently, Wookiees don't age.
They said that Wookiees have a lifespan of over 900 years.
Really? I didn't know they lived that long.
So, whereas Han could look like he's on his deathbed in 60s,
Chewbacca
probably in his mid-teens or early 20s.
That's weird. I didn't know Wookiees lived that long. I mean, I thought they might live slightly longer, but I didn't know that. I didn't know they lived Yoda long.
Yeah, apparently. A lot of weird ages in this universe.
Poor Chewie. Imagine how many people he'll see in his life die.
Well, it's a good thing he lives. Because by this time in the actual continuity, he had been long dead.
In the actual continuity. You mean the expanded universe stuff?
Or? Yeah.
Okay. So, but I sat there and I watched that trailer, and I saw old grizzled Han on the screen, and I was just thinking, wow. You know, on one hand, you're really kind of happy to see him. You've been waiting for this moment. But on the other hand, you're like going, man, he's old. And I wish that somebody had made these movies instead of the prequels in 2001 or 2002 or whenever the prequels started coming out.
So you mean someone, you mean...
George Lucas. Well, no, I mean, I wish that, like, if George Lucas had made these movies, I didn't know telling what they would have been. All right, so I'm excited about the movie we have coming out because it's not George Lucas, and it's a bold new direction with new directors, new writers, and stuff like that. So I'm excited about that, but I wish the characters... I wish we could have had this movie and had it made then with a younger, slightly younger original cast. I think it would have played better with a slightly younger original cast. That's all I'm saying. Because I think we're at the point now where Luke, Han, and Leia are old enough that you're not, the only thing you can really have them for at this point are cameos.
Is to die off.
Yeah, and to have them to introduce the next generation and die off.
That, I think that's... I'm pretty sure one of them is going to in this movie. And I'm pretty sure it's probably going to be Han.
It's probably got emphysema or something. Jeez. I mean, he looks really old and horrible in that picture. I think Luke was the youngest of the cast, wasn't he? Mark Hamill?
I don't know if Leia was or not.
Because he looks...
I know they were close.
He looks the best, I think, of the original three as far as maintaining their looks. And he looks kind of grizzled because he was just on The Flash the other day. Yeah. Run, and he was fantastic in that. And so we're watching The Flash the other day.
How good was that episode?
That was fantastic. And we're watching The Flash the other day, right? And my son is listening to Mark Hamill talk as the Trickster, reprising his original character from the original John Wesley Shipp Flash series.
Yeah.
And although it's not necessarily the same character, but he's playing the same person. Anyway, from the comics. And Connor, my son, is listening to him talk, and he looks over at me at one point and goes, Dad, I think that guy's the voice of the Joker. I said, you think? And he went, just listen to him, like he's trying to convince me. Just listen to him. Close your eyes and listen to him. You hear the Joker. And I said, yeah, because that's the guy that plays the Joker in all those cartoons and all those video games and everything. He went, I knew it. I said, Connor, you know what else is weird? He went, what? That's Luke Skywalker. Blew his mind.
Really?
Yeah, he had no clue that that's who that was. I was like, oh, it's so
hey,
much.
Connor, here's some Fantastic Four cartoons back in the early 90s, too. This guy playing Black Bolt's brother, that's also him.
So.
Oh, and there's this show you might know. It's called, oh crap, Regular Show. He plays Skips, the monkey guy. What?
What? Crazy.
His head blows up.
So
that's funny.
That's what he had no clue. It just he had that ear. He heard it. He had that ear trained on the Joker. That was awesome, I thought. So but yeah, that's Star Wars. You know, I like some of the things they're doing on it. I like the new little the BB-8, I think. Yeah. Little droid they've got. He looks pretty cool.
Well, the thing is, too, the best part about that character is that's a practical effect. That is not...
There's no CGI. Yeah, did you see the thing where they had the demonstration where they brought him out on stage and everything?
Yeah.
I was like, how does that work? I have no clue how that works.
I'm betting it's got to do with, like, a magnet inside of it. To hold the top part on.
I just don't know how when it's rolling, that top part just don't go ba-dum, 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 and roll underneath the ball. It's just amazing.
I just like the fact that they thank somebody else for creating it, that technology for that to do that.
Yeah, normally like, all
that's so awesome.
Normally that stuff's developed all in-house, so for them to admit that they actually borrowed that technology from like some engineers or whatever that created it, that was really cool. So,
I'd like thank you, because everyone when the first like the teaser came out, they were like, "What's with that stupid droid?"
That CGI like looking droid, yeah. But I think everybody's got a lot more respect for it now that they know it's a practical, real effect. So that's cool. I don't know who any of these new characters are. I mean, of course you don't, because you don't know them yet. But you know, it's, you're stuck in your Star Wars mythos, right? So you know who all the characters are. And now they're introducing new characters, and your immediate reaction is to go, I don't know who that is. I don't care about them. And so you've got to be open-minded enough to go, well, I need to know who they are. I need to learn to like them because they're my next generation cast. You know, it's like Star Trek The Next Generation. You know, when Patrick Stewart, Jean-Luc Picard walks out on the Enterprise for the first time, you're like, who is this French dude that got captaining the Enterprise? I don't care about him.
Who's the bald guy?
Yeah, weird. I mean, he looks, he's kind of gay looking. I don't know. He's just weird. And suddenly over time, you get to realizing that Captain Picard kicks butt. But you had to give yourself like two seasons of the show to figure that out. And so I'm hoping that, you know, this will be true with this new cast as well, that they'll be really awesome as long as we're open-minded enough to give ourselves. Because they'll never live up to the original cast. It's just like as good as Next Generation was, they'll never be Kirk and Spock and McCoy. You know, they'll never be the originals, right? But they earned their respect in their own place, right? And so I'm hoping...
To some people.
And to some people, they actually liked them better. But
no, I'm saying to some people, they're still way worse than...
Oh, yeah, that's true. There's a variety of opinions on who's the better Enterprise crew. But...
I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus.
But the point is that there was a variety of opinions, but a lot of people found a lot of respect for the next-gen crew over time. And I'm hoping that we can get the same kind of reaction here with the new Star Wars cast. Speaking of movies, we're still on movies. We've got a crazy-looking Joker picture that was released. Jared Leto starring as the Joker in the new Suicide Squad movie that's coming out. And he looks a little crazy, Charlie, because he's got the crazy tattoos all over his body. This is weird. What'd you think about that?
I didn't mind it. I mean, I heard that the Joker is going to be in the Suicide Squad movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he's going to be in it that much.
Going to be like a side character?
I don't think it's going to be, hey, it's Suicide Squad with the Joker, you know?
He's not going to be one of the squad?
I don't think he is. Because he never has been before in any
Yeah, but
other
I thought
iteration.
That's what they were doing in this movie to give it a little more oomph for a movie going on just to want to see
Let's
it.
See, I don't know. I can't really speculate what's going to happen.
Or maybe Harley gets in some trouble and he has to come save her or something. That would be weird. Now, how excited are you to see Harley Quinn on the theater screen for the first time?
Well, it's Margot Robbie and I've already seen her. So.
From various points of view?
Yes. So, Wolf of Wall Street, if anybody has ever seen that movie.
I've not seen it. I kind of wanted to, but I've not seen it.
You've seen her fully exposed. And I do mean fully.
Okay. So there's that.
And then, like, Will Smith's playing Deadshot.
Which is weird.
Which I find kind of cool because I watched that movie with both of them in it, Focus.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed that. That was a really good movie.
So, it'll be interesting to see how good that is. Now, this has kind of seemed odd for me because...
But from what I understand in your original question, the picture they showed recently is not how he's going to look in the movie, so I'm fine with it. I didn't have a real big problem with it, except for the one on the tattoo on his forehead.
Which like said what?
Danger, damaged.
Damaged, okay, I thought.
And then, like, the one on his, like, under his eye, like a teardrop, which was the J for Joker. And, like, one of his eyes had cracks in it or something like in it.
Yeah.
But I thought he had the pallor down, because from the other pictures I've seen, the skin tone did not look right, so if they go with that, I'm fine.
Well, see, here's the thing, and this is going to seem odd coming from me because I'm a stickler for authenticity, right? Uh-huh. So when Superman comes out, I'm like, that's not Superman's costume. All right, but when I seen this Joker, I was like, oh, that's weird. I kind of like to see that.
Well, that's the thing, that there has been so many different portrayals of Joker in comics, in books, in TV shows. I'm cool with it.
Yeah, because I don't
it's
think...
It's just another version.
I don't know that the Joker has a definitive look or style. All we know that he's got pasty white skin, green hair, and he's crazy.
Yeah.
And he laughs maniacally. And past that, you can kind of do what you want to with the character.
Yeah.
Because the Joker is like a force of nature, and And so there is no one kind of thunderstorm. Some storms are rolling and easy and just rain a lot. Some storms are blowing and hard and have hail and lightning. And the Joker's kind of like that. As a force of nature, he might present himself as just a crook, a gangster in one scene. He might present himself as, you know, an insane psychopath in another scene, a narcissistic killer in another scene. And so I'm fine with him having multiple portrayals in different formats and styles. And so when I saw this Joker, I was like, wow, you know, with the towel, the tattoos and everything, I'm like, wow, that's crazy. Hey, that's crazy. So when I found out later that, oh, they're going to tone it down for the actual movie, he's not going to be all tatted up and stuff, I was like, oh, I'm a little disappointed. I kind of wanted to see what that crazy tatted Joker was going to do. So, you know, that's weird. Because, like I said, I tend to be the stickler. I tend to be going, oh, my God, those are not the Fantastic Four. Johnny Storm's not black. You know, that's, and so.
Well, that movie has bigger problems than that.
Well, I know it's got bigger problems than that. But that's my point, is I'm talking about sticklers for costumes and character types. So, you know, that was the issue. Although, which is kind of the reason I liked Kingpin and Daredevil, because you got this guy who used to play on Law and Order, and the guy, that same guy that played the bad guy in Men in Black, I forget his name. He puts on weight for this role. Yeah. We've got a bug running around in a brand new Edgar suit.
Tear assing through New York in a brand new Edgar suit.
So, you know, you got this guy. He puts on a bunch of weight for this role, or that, or he's wearing a fat man suit. I'm not sure which is the case. But
I don't think he gained a lot of weight.
Well, no, he's not blubbery fat, but he's visibly bigger.
Yeah.
And so he really kind of embraced the character, and he really pulls it off really well. So that, aside from the tone of voice that you weren't crazy about. but I liked him a lot in that.
My city.
So, you know, so I'm always a stickler for character. This is what this character looks like in the comics. This is what this character should look like in the movie or the TV show. Although I do make certain exceptions, like Hugh Jackman's Wolverine is not comic book Wolverine. Okay, he's just not.
Well, he is now.
Well, that's he is now, it's because they've adapted comic book Wolverine to look like Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Okay, but Hugh Jackman is not short.
Nope.
He's not stumpy, and he's not overly hairy. In fact, when he gets his shirt off, he's pretty much bare-chested. And so, you know, this is the... And so, but nobody minded because Hugh Jackman was just so pretty.
Well, the funny thing is, like, I can't remember the guy who actually created Wolverine, who wrote the story. They said, well, who is your perfect Wolverine? He said, it's Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
I mean, he said, give him claws, and that's my perfect Wolverine. And I was just like, wow.
Maybe he needs to lose a little weight, but still, I understand what you're saying. So, speaking of movies, we're still stuck on movies, because that's an easy thing to talk about. Everybody sees movies. We got a new Man of Steel trailer with Ben Affleck. Do you bleed? You will.
How excited were you for that trailer? Oh, man, I can't wait to see Chewie and Han back together again.
What are you talking about?
So if you've not seen it, you need to go see How It Should Have Ended.
No, they're called, what is it called?
Superhero Cafe.
Yeah, Superhero Cafe.
But it's on the How It Should Have Ended website. The guy that puts it out does the How It Should Have Ended cartoons. And there's Superman and Batman talking about their new movie coming out. And like... It's so funny. I'm taking you down. Why? Because you're Batman. Because I'm Batman. Don't cut me off.
Because we're friends.
That makes no sense. Why should we fight?
Because you're out of control.
So that's fantastic.
Don't stop me by using my catchphrase. I hate that.
Why? Because you're Batman? Because I'm Batman! So anyway, this Man of Steel trailer, it's a really still just, even though it's not the same.
It's way darker than I thought it was going to be. I mean, seriously.
Well, did you see the thing on Facebook?
It's extremely darker than I thought it was going to be.
Did you see the thing on Facebook the other day about
recolored
Superman and how much more enjoyable that movie would have been if Superman had been, you know, his color palette had been bright and vibrant? Yeah.
Desaturation color. They always do that.
So that was interesting. I like that. But yeah, you're talking about the tone of the movie, right?
Yeah,
it really does take a dark tone because instead of like with Christopher Reeve's Superman, where everybody's like, "Hey, man, it's Superman. We all love Superman.
This country's safe again, Superman, thanks to you." No, don't thank me, Warden. We're all part of the same team. Dun da da.
You know, there's that. This is like a weird, dark future version of Superman where you've got people worshiping him as a god. You've got other people calling him a false god. You've got paranoid, you know, media and mass public reaction to whether or not he's here to invade the Earth or take over or whatever.
My whole thing is this future continuity we're seeing? Because from what I understand, it's not a sequel to Man of Steel.
So you're saying there'll be a Man of Steel sequel apart from this?
To be, yeah. Because that's going to come out before
Justice League.
So,
I don't know when this takes place.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't either. But I said, you know, if the way to write out this whole incredible mess that everyone thinks that Man of Steel made is, wouldn't it be cool if he was being controlled by Brainiac? You could just throw it in there that Brainiac was controlling him the whole time.
Well, I got the impression from the trailer, not that Superman was evil, but that everybody just assumed he was.
What about the soldiers who kneel down in front of him that are wearing the Superman symbol?
I just thought that was some kind of cult or something, and he went in there to stop it, and they kneeled in front of him. I gave him the benefit of the doubt on that. I didn't know.
I'm saying, you know, wouldn't it be kind of cool if that's how they do it? I mean, it's like if he's getting steadily worse and worse and worse, and why is that going on? Because he's being mind-controlled. And they could go back to, back to the scene where Zod's telling him, do it, or I'll kill everyone. And you hear something in his brain go, snap his neck. And then you just...
So that explains why he did it.
That would explain
it. Gives them the out.
It gives them the out. That's all I'm saying. It would be cool. I don't think they're going to go that way. I really don't. But, you know, that would give them an easy out to where, like, everyone could stop complaining about it.
About the dark Superman tone because he really wasn't in control of himself.
And, you know, with the tone of the trailer, I was just like, this really is a Batman movie with Superman in it. And that's basically what this movie is. This movie is to introduce Batman into this universe.
Right. Well, now, in this universe, like, Batman's supposed to be, what, 45, 50 years old, something like that?
Yeah.
So, if they're just now starting, you know, this is the problem we ran into Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. was 40 when he was cast as Iron Man.
He's 45.
I think it was 40, 41, something like
46,
that.
46.
He just turned 50.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's been about 5 or 6 years.
Well, no, because that was 2006, you said? And it's 2015?
2008.
Oh, well, all right. So he was like 43. So he's 43 and now he's 50. All right, the point is, by the time you hit 50, generally, you're too old to play superheroes. Yeah. So I'm worried they've got Affleck in this role as an older Batman, and they won't be able to keep him. Like, he'll only be in it maybe a movie or two, and then Batman will be gone. I would have rather had a Batman that was Superman's age, because Superman's, you know, like 29 or whatever.
Well, I think Affleck's only, like, about 2 or 3 years older than us.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're almost 40. So, you know, how many movies can you get out of Affleck before he turns 50? That seems to be the cutoff.
Like, 5, maybe?
They're going to come out one every 2 years? That's a lot.
Yeah, they are. Haven't you seen the slate? Isn't that what you were talking about earlier?
Yeah, but they're not all Justice League movies.
But they're not all Batman movies either.
None of them are Batman movies, are they? They have any Batman, just Batman movies on the slate?
I think they had one.
Do they? I didn't see any.
I thought it was like 2018 or 2019.
I thought for now, Batman is a side character in other superhero movies.
Either way.
So, I don't know. I just worry that it's weird, because Batman and Superman have always been contemporary as far as ages. They've always been about the same age, and it just seems like you've got a Batman character in this movie who is significantly older than the Superman character, because Superman's supposed to be like 29 or 30 years old, unless this is future. If this is future, then it makes a little more sense, you know. But if it takes place immediately after Man of Steel, then you've got a Superman character who's about 30 years old, and a Batman character is about 45. And even though Affleck may not hardly be 45, I think Batman in the movie is 45. So,
how weird is it though, right? Watching I Am Legend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Remember what the...
They had the Batman Superman logo on the billboard.
And what was the date under it?
Oh, I don't remember. Was there a date? What did it say? It
said coming summer 2015.
Does it say that?
Yes, it does.
Well, it won't be out this year, but that was close.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. How crazy is it that we're actually getting a Batman Superman movie like...
It's just 1 year off of that.
Yeah.
Because it'll be out next year. That's weird.
Then we're going to be getting the Batman Lego movie 2000.
Did you watch the Bizarro
yeah.
Justice League thing? Yeah. I didn't watch that. Was it any good?
Remember like that whole like episode of Justice League where Superman takes Bizarro and puts him on a planet?
Mm-hmm.
This was kind of like that, but further explained.
Right.
So like he goes to that planet, right? And, like, he's all alone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he decides he's all alone. He wants friends, like the Justice League.
Right.
So he comes back to Earth and, like, hits this laser.
Bizarro Ray or whatever.
On the Justice League. And it creates them.
Bizarro League. Yeah.
That's what it
is. That's basically what it is.
Okay. And Darkseid comes in at the end, which was kind of fun.
Oh, just Darkseid just, hey, how's it going?
It was kind of funny because it's like that they've made those Lego sets now.
Yeah.
Basically, like the whole like they've made like a Lego like Darkseid minifigure,
mm-hmm.
and he's that new redesigned Jim Lee one, which I kind of hate.
So did you see the trailer for the new Lego movie coming up? It's got Batman and Gandalf in it, and.
No, that's a video game.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was a movie coming out.
It's a video game that's going to be like the Disney Infinity, but
it'll
be Lego sets.
Okay. I could have swore it was a movie.
With Joel McHale.
Well, the production quality on it was very good.
Yeah, that's what that was. That was basically a video game trailer.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That's another thing that everyone's going to have to buy this next year or
not
so.
Me but like, it's another one of those video games with set pieces that yeah. you gotta buy like, okay
because like the first set has like the DeLorean the Lego DeLorean
yeah.
and like Batman and I think something else too
I don't know. And then Lego's all over the place because they got this Jurassic Park game coming out and
yeah and those new sets are supposedly hitting out next month.
So, geez, anybody that's into Legos, isn't it? That's an expensive hobby.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. But the thing I do is I mostly buy, like, clearance Lego sets because I bought the Milano.
Yeah.
The Guardians of the Galaxy ship that way. And
did you actually put it together?
Not yet. I have a ton of freaking, like, Lego stuff in boxes.
Never opened.
Not yet.
Not yet.
My tumbler still is in its box.
Never opened. How old is it?
Well, it came out last year. But
oh, I thought it came out earlier.
No, it's that big deluxe one.
Oh, okay. I thought it came out after the second movie came out.
Nope.
Okay.
There was one that came out that time. If you bought that one, you'd be a very happy man now.
Oh, are they expensive now?
Like $5,000.
Jeez. Wow. So speaking of cars, I got a chance to see Furious 7 a week or so ago. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was way over the top.
All right, so
way over the top.
So Jason Statham, did he make this movie or what?
I don't think he made the movie. I'm just saying, like,
I mean, because everything else is old hat. You know, you've got Vin Diesel. Yeah, we don't got friends. We got family. You know, he's saying the same tired lines he's saying for 4, 5, 6, 7 movies. And you got The Rock in it, who's became a mainstay in the movies now. You expect to see him. He when 5 came out, he was a big deal. The Rock was in it. And then when 6 came in,
he was all sweaty in that movie.
Yeah, he was all sweaty in that movie.
He's all sweaty in this movie, too. He wasn't much in 6, but he was in this movie, too.
He wasn't too sweaty in the hospital, but still. And so But yeah, I mean, just water running off of him all the time in that five. I was like, it looked like he just got out of the shower constantly. Like
every single freaking scene. Well, see, the thing is, he's so big now, they have to water him like they do the streets of the movies.
But, so you expect The Rock, he's a mainstay at this point. And you expect cars and fantastic action and stuff like that. So the only kind of really new element we had in this movie was Jason Statham.
Yeah.
And Jason Statham was really pretty awesome in the movie. The Rock said in an interview that he gives Jason Statham so much credit because he's the only guy in Hollywood he knows that actually does all his own stunts. I mean, he can actually do the crap you see him do on screen. And well,
thing is with Statham, he's not franchise Viagra.
That you're making a reference that nobody's going to get. But
and that movie was like, it was sad.
All right, so with Fast and the Furious movies, it's like, how ridiculously over the top can we ignore the laws of physics? And so it's like they try to get a little worse every time.
Well, physics, security systems.
Oh, yeah. This has got an impossible security system. Wait a minute, I'll hack it.
Information tracking, because like I said, Statham showed up everywhere.
Yeah. So
and even when they surprised him by going into his building. He was like, ha-ha, I knew you were coming.
Yeah.
So I've got to surprise the 9,000 men that are tracking you.
I knew you were coming. I was ready for you. You didn't think I'd be ready for you? I'm ready for you.
Because you hurt my brother.
Now I'm going to hurt you.
Because like I said, that first scene from like when he's in the hospital and he's talking to his brother, he's like, I'll make them pay for what they did to you. Then you see these two people in the background, like, shaking. And you're like, what's going on there? Because they're all blurry and stuff. And then it shows them focusing. And he turns around and he goes, if my brother dies, I'm coming back for you. And I'm like, okay, big deal. Then it shows him walking through the hospital. Seriously, like 20 levels of this hospital. He's walking through. And the place is demolished from where he's come in.
He's like come in there, and in order to get in there, he's waded through waves and waves of people.
Dudes with machine guns. Seriously, like hospital staff, everybody. Like, seriously. Like
people are just laying in piles on the ground.
And you just see him walking out slowly. And then, like, he gets outside of the hospital, and seriously, like, pieces of the building are falling down where he's caused as much distress.
I mean, it's like Superman showed up and just kicked all kinds of butt right there in the middle of the place. It's weird.
That was the craziest part about that whole movie. I was like, really? If this is the bar that they've set in the first 3 minutes of this movie,
yeah,
it's going to be nuts at the end.
The parachuting cars was crazy. There's no way you could have got those cars on parachutes to land on the road. Okay, they would have ended up 3 miles over if a crosswind caught them.
Well, the whole shocks, too, it would have destroyed them. I mean, even
they would have hit really hard. World, I mean, yeah. And what was the deal with that car that Vin Diesel was driving in that scene with the two big tires on the back? I kept thinking, what are those tires for? Is he going to have a blowout and need to do a really fast change? I don't know. They get two great big tires on the back of his car. It never were used for anything.
Well, the best one was with Tyrese.
Yeah.
He totally missed it. He's just like, the whole friggin' like time is
just
like,
there you are, Roman. We'll be back for you.
It's like, what are you talking about? Be back for me.
He's drifting off of the road. And then he shows up at the end to save the day because they were getting pinned down and caught.
Because of why? Because Statham comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Because he knew that
they were already going to be there. In his own car that he's like retrofitted for mountainside travel, dune buggy cross with muscle car.
What, you know the way they set that movie up? I thought that Kurt Russell was going to be a bad guy.
Yeah, I totally.
I was like,
I knew at some point he was going to betray him.
Yeah. He's like, I need you to go get this secret like Eye in the Sky program. He's like, I wonder what he's going to use that for.
Yeah, well, that's clearly his bid for world domination. He's going to use that to turn terrorists and hold the world ransom or something like that.
And then they get it and they're like, okay, let's go find your friends. I was like, what?
Hey, he was telling the truth? And then he gets shot? He had the coolest sunglasses. They were in that dark building. He puts his sunglasses on CSI style. Yeah! And he puts some sunglasses on, he can see in the dark. And those were cool. Night vision sunglasses. And he gets out there and he's shooting people and then he gets wounded. Ugh. Then they got to carry him out of there and he goes, leave me on the side of the road. What? I got people coming for me. You do? How do you... Yeah, I radioed him. When'd you do that? With what radio?
Go find your friends. But I was seriously like, and his whole thing was he was about that beer. It was like, hey, have you had this kind of beer?
You really should try the Belgian beer. Those monks got it down.
I mean, he was seriously all about that beer during the whole thing. I was like, who sponsored this?
Well, he's dying in the car. And Vin Diesel, he looks over and says, let me just tell you one thing. And Vin Diesel's like, what? What is it? And he goes, that Belgian beer is really good. You got to try one, please.
I love that. I was like, what the heck is the deal with the beer? He's like, even like, he goes, here's our secret CIA FBI stronghold. He's like, this is the best part. Here's a keg of this Belgian beer.
He said, those monks know what they're doing when it comes to brewing. Whole celibacy thing I don't know about, but they got this figured out.
That was so crazy, the whole thing about the beer. That was awesome.
So I'll
say it like this, the Amanda Rousey part, I was like, I don't know why she's in this movie.
Which character?
She was the bodyguard of that prince.
Oh, yeah.
The one that Michelle Rodriguez just had to fight because they were breaking in.
Well, we needed the chick fight in evening gowns is what that's the reason she was in it.
And she's like, I've been waiting for this for weeks like that. And she starts like cracking her knuckles and stuff. I was like, why are you even in here? Like, seriously, this is your whole part?
Yeah.
And I will say this, and I told John earlier that Michelle Rodriguez and Vin Diesel make the ugliest screen couple in the history of movie making.
They maybe looked better when the original Fast and Furious were cast. They had the tribute to Paul Walker at the end of the movie. How'd you like that? Did it seem a little ham-fisted and over the top, kind of the way they worked it in there?
No. I thought that was, like, probably the best part.
Really? Okay. I don't know. It just felt a little forced to me because he pulls up at, Vin Diesel's sitting in the car at the end of it, like he's going to drive off by himself.
Yeah.
And then Paul Walker pulls up beside him, but it's clearly cut from an earlier movie. You can see, like, the hazy edge around the car window they've superimposed it.
It was like the movement of the face you could tell was fake.
Yeah. They didn't
because
see...
he looks over and goes like that, gives him the nod.
Yeah.
And then, like, 2 seconds later, like, when like he looks back into him again, he looks over to him and gives him the same
nod. Yeah.
And I was like, wow, that's really
they just
bad.
They just pasted it twice.
Yeah, because I think it was his brother driving at that time, and they pasted his face on top of his. But yeah, that was a little weird.
And then they, like I said, and then all the flashback scenes to when the movies first started. You don't notice it as these movies are coming out one at a time how they age. But when you go back and you look at that first movie and see
Paul Walker had that curly hair
and he was really young, baby face looking. And I was just like, wow, that's been a long time ago. You don't talk about making yourself feel old. You don't realize
how... You know, the worst part about the movie was, right, okay, in the continuity, right?
Right.
The movies go 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, this movie, part of it, then 3.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Then they showed Lucas from that movie, and at the end of that movie is when him and Vin Diesel get together. Which happens in this movie.
Okay.
But Lucas looks way different than he did in 3.
Yeah.
And I mean, they didn't even go to any point to explain that. I mean, it's all of a sudden, it's been like maybe 6, 7 years since 3 happened.
Mm-hmm.
But Lucas looks way different than he did back then in that movie.
Yeah.
And this was like, this whole movie like took place like 3 hours ago, people, and Lucas looks way different. I mean, he easily looks like he's gained about 30 pounds.
Right.
It was crazy.
It was crazy. But those movies don't have to make a whole lot of sense. I mean, You know, everything, and like I said, they get a little more ridiculous with the physics and everything. You just things happening that can't possibly happen.
Well, the funny thing is they've already announced 8's coming out.
Right. Because this movie made, like, what, $1 billion in a couple of weeks or something like that?
Okay. Vin Diesel's been talking. He's like, F7 was the promise that Paul Walker made to us or whatever, and F8's going to be the realization of that dream or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
How much you want to bet they just title it F8 or Fate for the new one?
That's kind of cheesy. I wouldn't doubt it, but...
Come on, John. Look what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, okay. Well, you know, Fast 5, Furious 6, Faster 8, whatever.
Fast 6, Furious 7, Fate. But someone said, it's like, how awesome in like 5 or 6 years you'll get like the reboot of these movies, and it will be the son of Paul Walker going against like the daughter of
Vin Diesel, and they'll fall in love or something like that?
Well, they can't because they're related.
Oh, yeah, because it's his sister. It would be his cousin, yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, but that movie is way over the top.
Yeah. Well, I mean, anytime that you've got cars crashing between the tops of skyscrapers, it just... ignore the laws of physics. Cars can fly. Well, I think it was Darren Steves from our good friend up in Canada that from the Defensive Geek podcast that tweeted after he saw the movie. The tagline for this movie should be, "You will believe a car can fly." And so that was pretty good. Let's transition to video games real quick. We've got the new Dark Knight trailer came out the other day showing all his supporting cast. We're going to have people like Catwoman and Nightwing and so forth being supporting cast in this movie, in this video game, excuse me.
Nightwing, Oracle.
So will you have real-time on-screen playability as those characters in the main story?
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, because we've seen him feature characters like Nightwing and stuff in Catwoman in the past, but hardly ever have they been playable in the main storyline. Catwoman had a brief interlude in the last game where you could play as her, but it was short.
Well, in the DLC, you could play as Nightwing and Robin.
Yeah, but those are not inside the story. Those were just like outside extra bonus mission arcs things. And so I would really like to see him transition from character to character to character through the story arc. That would be really cool, I would think.
I don't think they'll be doing that. That's probably just cutscenes. You'll see Batman fighting, and then all of a sudden, like, he'll come up to a bunch of people and, like, they'll try to overpower him, and then you'll see Nightwing and all them coming in. It was kind of cool to see Azrael again.
Yeah.
For them to tie that whole Arkham City thing back to that game.
Right. So that looks exciting. That game looks fantastic. I have it pre-ordered. Looking forward to that coming out.
I want to pre-order, but I want the good edition.
What's the good edition? With the statue and everything?
The car.
Oh.
But the thing is, you can't pre-order it through Amazon.
Oh, you can't?
Nope.
Who do you got to go through? GameStop or somebody?
I guess. I don't know if they'd have the limited edition, though. I would just have to wait and see if Amazon sells it then and there.
Mortal Kombat is out. I had pre-ordered this game, but I canceled my pre-order. I've just decided that game series is too over the top. You know, because Mortal Kombat is one of the games I cut my teeth on back in the day, man. It was, you know, after, you know, you grew up with Mario and you know, Duck Hunt.
Street Fighter.
And Street Fighter and Bayou Billy and those old NES titles, right? And Zelda and all that stuff. But then, at some point, the arcade games got big. You would actually go to the arcade. This is early 90s. You would go to the late 80s, early 90s. And you would go to the arcades, and they would be things like Killer Instinct, and they would be things like Mortal Kombat, and they would be things like Pit Fighter and other, you know, big arcade games. And
Eternal Warrior.
Or the latest version of Street Fighter or Street Fighter Alpha or whatever was out in arcades. And so you would go to these arcades and you would spend rolls and rolls of quarters on these fighting games and things. And Mortal Kombat was the thing. And then when Mortal Kombat was released for home systems, man, I was in heaven. Me and my brother sat for hours and played that, even though the home versions was a horribly stripped down pitiful version of the arcade game. But we just we played. And I always remember the big deal about Congress getting involved and having a Senate panel hearing on violence in video games and things like that. And I remember thinking at the time, well, this is just stupid. It's not really all that violent. It's fake-looking blood that spews out. It looks like ketchup or something. And you, when you Mortal Kombat 2, you do a fatality, like 30 leg bones is what ends up flying on the screen. It was cartoony violence at best, and it wasn't all that particularly gruesome. And but when you watch the fatality scenes from this new Mortal Kombat, it's like it's too real now. It for me, and maybe this is just because I'm turning into an old fuddy-dud. Maybe it's because I'm becoming my parents or my grandparents eventually. And I'm watching this, and I'm watching like Kung Lao perform a fatality where he puts his hat down and turns it into a table saw and drags people by the legs across the saw and cuts them in half. And it looks not completely real because it's still just a game, but it looks pretty, pretty gruesome. And I'm just like, you know, they've really kind of crossed the line here. If I was interested in Mortal Kombat, I would be interested in it as a fighting game. Like the same way Mortal Kombat doesn't have finishing moves, it's just a fighting game. Excuse me, Street Fighter. Street Fighter doesn't have finishing moves, it's just a fighting game. I would be interested to play Mortal Kombat like that because I just want to play the fighting game and not worry so much about the gruesome fatalities that you can perform at the end. But that I actually canceled my pre-order because I felt like this game is crossed the line. It really is. They've gone overboard with it, and I don't need all that. That's my two cents. However, when this thing comes out in discount bins for $20 with all the DLC, like we were talking about that earlier, I may go ahead and pick it up. Because you don't have to do the fatalities. You can just, finish him, let him fall over. But I just feel like they would be better off to put more time and energy into like a really good story and have, because like the last Mortal Kombat game, the redo, where they restarted, rebooted or whatever, the thing I liked best about that game...
They went back and changed the past.
Right. The thing I liked best about that was the long story mode that you could play through that told the story. That was my favorite part of it. So I'm hopeful that there's another one of those in this game. And like I said, I would rather see spend more time on something like that than developing all these crazy fatalities. But that's just me. Anything on your video game radar, Charlie, that you've been...
I recently bought the PlayStation has had these like their I don't know what they've been calling it their spring sale I think, and they've been like every week for the past like month and a half they've been giving out selling games for like cheaper
right
when they first bring it out than when you can buy it later on, and like I bought a game a couple weeks ago called Axiom Verge. And it's like a Metroid game.
Okay.
Which is kind of cool as can be. And they brought out one called Shovel Knight a couple weeks ago. Like, actually a knight that has a shovel. It looks like a Mega Man game, except you could, like, dig in it, which is weird.
Is it like Dig Dug for Mega Man?
No, it's side-scrolling like Mega Man. But you could, like, in the level... On, like, the platforms, you can actually, like, dig on.
Oh, dig through platforms and fall down?
You can't
down?
Dig through them. Oh. No, you can just dig in them and find, like, jewels and
stuff.
Oh,
okay.
Which is pretty cool looking, I think. But I haven't bought that one. But I'll tell you what, the Axiom Verge, like, it's old school Metroid stuff, but correct. They add stuff to, like, update it. Like, you've got, like, 60 different, like, weapons and it... Like, you have secret areas and, like, over 20 hours of play or whatever they said. So, it's pretty cool.
Cool. I don't know if I talked about it last time we did a show. Shadows of Mordor. I played a lot of that. Beat that finally. A little disappointed at the end of that game. But the play...
Because he dies.
Well, no. Not exactly. But it leaves it... Because he's already dead, theoretically. According to the story, he died at the beginning of the game and he comes back. But neither here nor there. The end was so ambiguous it left you going, wait, what happened? And then you go online to see what you missed, like explain the end to me, and everybody's like, we're not real sure what that meant. And it was weird. You just have to play it for yourself. I'm not going to go into it. But and then I bought the DLC for it, which was the Beast Hunter thing that they downloaded, and then another one was the shoot the shining light, something or other. I forget what they're called. But the sad part is, after I bought the DLC and downloaded them, I've not played the DLC. I haven't got to them. So, but that's a really good game. It's a cross between, you know, Skyrim as far as the world you're in, and the playability of like Assassin's Creed or Batman Dark Knight, because of all the ledges you can perch on and jumping on people from above and things like that. So it's,
I have that game. I've yet to play it.
It I enjoyed it. It was a good game.
Of course, I haven't beat Dying Light yet. So,
oh yeah, I remember you talking about that. That's with all them zombies, zombie games. So, all right, that kind of brings us kind of to the close. But before we close, we want to take a moment to pay homage to comics, Charlie. And I kind of got to depend on you to tell me what's going on in the world of comics at this point. I know Convergence is a big deal coming out from DC. How's that going?
Well, we basically just started it. I mean, issue 3 comes out next week, so.
What's the gist of it, though? I mean, is there an overarching storyline, or is it just a lot of what-if tales from
different... At the end of the Doom storyline from Action Comics, where after Superman defeats Brainiac, after he was being, like, had this Doomsday virus, he kills Brainiac, so Brainiac has a defense mechanism in his ship. And this defense mechanism activates, and it's, I can't think of his name right now, so it doesn't really matter. It's a sentient, like person or being in it.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes up to Superman, and he says, you know, basically what Brainiac's been doing is he's been collecting cities and dimensions. Throughout, like, dimensions.
Throughout the multiverse.
Yeah.
Instead of worlds throughout the universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's been...
So he's a bigger threat than we thought he was.
Yeah. Because Brainiac was almost, they say, as, like, almost a god or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So this character comes in, he goes, well, I'm going to basically do the same thing to your Earth, too. I'm going to take one of your cities. And what they do is he's pitting them against each other to see what one will live at the end of all their fights.
Okay.
So like I said, it's just now started, basically.
And then, so all the tie-ins, which are different alternate reality versions of the characters we know from points in the past or whatever, are just a trip through the multiverse, more or less. What-if storylines.
The video game, the Injustice world, and every issue be like them fighting, like it'll be Nightwing versus the Bloodshot, you know, the Wildstorm universe or whatever. Right. And
so it's kind of like Countdown Arena.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think on a better scale, because it's probably better written.
We talking about Countdown Arena was awesome. No.
I'm not saying Countdown Arena was terrible. I'm just saying
it wasn't real good.
It wasn't, but that's all right.
Because Monarch turned out to be Captain Atom. It was weird. But, so that's kind of the DC stuff in a nutshell then, I take it. So,
who knows what's going on.
After all this Convergence stuff, are we getting kind of a soft reboot, or are we just going back to where we were at? After it's over, have you heard?
I'm not going to say it's going to be a soft reboot. I think what they decided...
There's a retcon or...
I think from what they've decided is that they're going to, like, go more reader-friendly with it.
Meaning what?
The universe.
How is it not reader-friendly now?
Well, more kid-friendly, you know.
Oh, they're going to play it a little softer and not as hardcore?
I think so.
That's weird. I'm not saying it's wrong.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like Action Comics, their last issue, issue 40. The
one you just gave me.
I think that may be 39, so it'd be the next one after that. I'm not real sure. It has to deal with Brainiac.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at the end of it, it's like, well, it's not going to, might not tell you on the front of that.
Yeah, there's no number on the front.
Seeing as that,
I'm looking, there's no number on this thing.
Well, open it up. It should tell you.
Is it at the end?
Wherever it says.
No, it's a 40.
Yeah. Well, that's dealing with
with Bizarro.
Doomzarro. Oh my god!
And it's it's kind of like the same Bizarro that we like.
Is he from the Super Emperor Joker?
Yeah, Bizarro? Kind of. He's got that same broken English, like him like stuff,
right?
And he's got the same dialogue. Well, that's going to be one of their new number ones after this whole Convergence thing comes out. And it'll be kind of interesting to read that book. Apparently, Jimmy and Amanda are going to be doing a Starfire book. And it'll be a Starfire in a more controlled costume than the one from her in the Outlaw book. And it's... Like I said, they say it's going to be... I think it's going to be a little more kid-friendly. And who knows what they're going to do. If they're going to bring back dead characters or characters from other universes, we'll just have to see.
So what's the over-under on the Superman-Wonder Woman relationship? Is that hanging around or is that over?
I don't know. I'm a little behind. I'm a couple weeks behind.
I just thought maybe somebody had said or something, then I may have missed it, because I hope it stays around, but I don't know why I care if I'm not actively reading comics right now.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like, I think in that, and the one of the Convergence books, he like remembers that he was with Lois at one point, so.
Yeah, so it may cause a rift between them or something.
Who knows? Like I said, it's up in the air right now.
So what's going on over at Marvel? Are you reading anything with Marvel right now?
I am, but most of the books I'm reading are either done or...
I mean, we got this whole reboot thing going on over there, too, right? So we've got
They say it may not be a reboot.
They came out and said it. They had a big interview at the big press conference and said it was going to be a reboot.
From what they've been saying over the last week, it's like it's determinant on what the readers want.
Whatever.
So they're kind of wish-washing. But they're kind of doing the same thing, almost exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's with their, most of their what-ifs and whatever, and all their big, huge storylines. And I'll have to show it to you later right now. But it's seriously, it'll be if you're a Marvel zombie, you're probably going to be broke at the end of this, because there's seriously over 100 titles so far that they've announced as mini series.
See, there's not that much money in comics. I wonder how they can get away with flooding the market like that. They've got to be taking losses somewhere.
Well, they said DC's doing it because they're moving from New York to California.
Right. So they had all this stuff done maybe last year or something, in the can, ready to go, so that when they got ready to move, they could just dump it on the market, right?
Well, I don't think they've had it done for that long, but they've had it...
I've had it ready to go.
Ready to go, so it wouldn't be late or behind or whatever. But yeah, it's like every other day, Marvel announces four new titles that they're oh, it's a new Secret Wars thing. You know, mm-hmm. It's like, seriously, it's like you've got Planet Hulk, you've got... what if Spider-Man stayed married? You have the Thor's book where it's all the different Thors, and it's Grant Morrison's E for Extinction. It's Age of Apocalypse. It's seriously, it's almost like every big event and crossover they've ever had, and what if that's important, and that's what they're doing.
Weird.
But what I'm saying is, I'm probably not going to get very many of these, maybe two or three at the most.
Right.
Because if it is a reboot, I don't really care.
Yeah.
It's not that I don't care. It's just do I care if they reboot? Not really. I'm not reading that many Marvel titles now.
So, it doesn't matter.
And seeing as they're getting rid of Fantastic Four as a comic book, they'll show up in other... books,
but there'll be no title.
But there'll be no Fantastic Four. From what I understand, that they're either doing that with the X-Men, or the X-Men will just be the X-Men as is, and they won't introduce any more new mutants at all. Just to get rid of that thing.
They've introduced, like, they killed Deadpool, so there'll be no ongoing Deadpool book.
How do you kill Deadpool? Well, I thought he was pretty much indestructible.
They didn't, really. He just fakes his death and kind of walks away.
Oh, so the point is, though, that the series ended.
Yeah.
Okay.
But as far as the ongoing Marvel Universe knows, that he is dead.
Okay.
Wolverine died.
Actually died.
Yeah. So like I said, it's I don't know what they're doing. They're trying to get they're trying to not promote any movie connections that they don't want to connect with.
So I think how Disney runs Marvel is like, if we don't own the movie license of these characters, we're not going to promote them in the comics?
Yeah, basically.
That's weird.
Because that's why they're pushing Inhumans, and that's why it's uncanny. It's not Avengers, uncanny Avengers anymore. It's Inhuman Avengers, you know? It's like, that's what I'm saying. They're pushing the Avengers because they own the Avengers.
Right. Okay.
And now they're doing like 50 different Guardians books, and they're not all that well written except for the Guardians 3000 book. That's pretty good because it's by Dan Abnett, and he wrote the original Guardians of the Universe. So that's pretty good. Even though those characters I don't technically care about because it's those Charlie 27 and Martin X and Vance Astro and Yondu, and but it's pretty good. I mean, you know, where all those other, like, all those earlier, like, Guardians of the Galaxy books were terrible with those same characters in,
right.
This one's pretty good.
Cool. All right, so what about outside DC and Marvel? Anything good going on?
Not really.
Not really. Nothing. Okay.
No, I said it last time. Image produces almost the same book.
Every book they make.
Every different book they make. All right. I mean, I said it would surprise you.
On a side note, Ron Richards left Image Comics. That was weird.
It would surprise you how many creators in comic books want to tell a story that's set in a Western motif,
mm-hmm.
that's not Western.
Right.
And it would surprise you how many characters use the actual character of Death in their books.
As a person.
As a person.
Yeah.
And like I said, it would surprise you, but there is a ton of them.
It's a running theme over there, yes.
And I said, you know, the sad thing...
Either that or oversexed superheroes, one of the two.
Well, not so much, but...
or sexually repressed superheroes, one of the three.
But the thing is like, that's
there's a lot of sex in Image Comics, is what I'm saying.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's way... There's a lot of saturation is in the same vein of books they bring out. And I'm just like, is this what creators think is going to sell your sci-fi epic or your Western that's not a Western,
mm-hmm.
but is a Western, or your 50 books dealing with the character of Death in every
right.
every issue? Or
and they don't hang around. They don't seem to have any staying power. They don't hang around. They do their limited runs and they go away.
Well, the thing is with Image, they're all creator-owned, right? So right. It could take years and years for these books to hit number four.
I mean, but what Image book besides The Walking Dead has got any real staying power that we see in numbers?
Saga, Manhattan Projects. There's been several of them.
Well, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying there aren't any
Black Science. I mean, like I said, it's mostly their big, huge creator-owned books that.
I'm just saying that Image Comics is always debuting a new number one. Always some new thing. Oh my God, this is the second coming of comic books right here. This is new number one. You can't miss this. And it'll be a 10-issue run that's gone. I'm just saying that everything that they put out is not the next best thing in comics.
Well, no, but it's what
they... But it's all billed that way. Every time you see any press releases from Image, it's like, you know, you can't miss this.
The hot new issue from some guy you've never heard of.
Yeah.
I mean... I'll tell you how bad it is.
I'll just say this way. Chris Parton stays excited all the time.
he's more into the boom now and whatever.
Oh, but Valiant and stuff like that.
No, I don't think I've ever heard him talk about Valiant, but everyone else is.
Well, it's got a strong fan base.
But I will say this. It goes to show you like how weird Image is. There was this this book called Non-Player, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it brought out a number one issue. And the number one issue was pretty good. It was about this guy who was like, I really can't remember, and I'll tell you why I can't remember. But the art in it was really good, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was probably the best thing that put the comic book pages in a good long while from Image Comics.
Right.
Well, the first issue came out 6 years ago.
What issue are we up to?
And they're promoting number two's coming out soon.
That's almost like Image United.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, it's creator-owned book, so, you know, they'll do it whenever they do it. But why is Image promoting this as Image number two, Non-Player number two is coming out? I'm like, guys, really, you know.
That's like DC.
If you built a fan base with that number one, they don't care if number two's coming out now.
Yeah, you've lost all momentum.
Yeah.
That's kind of like when DC used to really amp All-Star Batman and Robin the next issue after it had been not out for 6 months.
Yeah.
People lost interest. Well, not me, because I would, you know, it was Jim Lee artwork and it was Grant Morrison writing.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, that's why anything that Mark Miller does is hyped up real big, and then you realize that there's going to be 5 or 6 months between issues.
Yeah,
and that's a regular thing with Miller, and not everyone. Well, I don't understand
why he doesn't just write the whole thing, and they give it to an artist and he draws the whole thing, then they release it. I don't know why.
I don't know what the problem is.
Why bring it out sporadically like that?
I've never understood any of that mess at all. Like, seriously, I've never understood why they promote his stuff.
Well, you know who does that really well? Like Dark Horse. Dark Horse, all their storytelling, they don't have hardly any, with few exceptions. They don't hardly have any ongoing series. Almost everything Dark Horse does is in limited story arcs. Like BPRD, Hellboy, you get a miniseries, 7 or 8 issues, they take a break.
Well, except for all their Star Wars stuff.
Well, that was, like I said, not all of it. But a lot of their stuff come out in miniseries arcs, standalone stories, collect single volume sets of 7 or 8 issues. And then it would take a break for a while and then come back and do some more. But whenever those issues started to ship, they would ship all the way through until they were done.
Yeah, I don't ever know that any Dark Horse book that I've
was ever delayed.
Was ever late.
And even Buffy came out like clockwork. And yeah, even
Buffy still does come out like clockwork.
And it was an ongoing. So, is it still the same creative team?
Well, it's
Josh Whedon's not writing it.
No, it's a different one. But that's what I'm saying. It's like I've never known them to ever.
Dark Horse is the picture of punctuality. I don't think they get enough credit for that. I don't think is it not a good time in comics for Dark Horse, because they've lost a lot of their properties and stuff. They lost Star Wars. They
promote other stuff, so
I just wonder if they're doing all right.
I don't know.
I'd hate to see anything happen to them, because I never read a lot of Dark Horse stuff, but I always had a lot of respect for them as a company. I just never felt like they got their props, you know.
Who knows?
I mean, everybody always loved Hellboy, and BPRD was huge, but a lot of the other stuff they did just didn't get any love. So now they had a few what I would call cult followings on some things, like the Usagi Yojimbo people or the Sergio Aragonés group people. Those people will always buy that stuff. I don't care what publisher it comes out from. So, you know, but
matter of fact, a new Groove series is coming out. So,
but I mean, they would take risks with a lot of stuff that wouldn't work out. Where, you know, things like, you know, their Conan book they came out with, that looked pretty good, even though I didn't buy it because it just wasn't in my budget. But they would take risks with titles, I think, and I just don't think people gave them a lot of chance a lot of times. But, you know, I think they're a better publisher than people realize they are. And they don't just do all licensed properties. Now, they were a pretty big licensed property dealer there for a long time, but they don't do all of that stuff. You know, they're not the IDWs of the world. You know, IDWs, oh my God, all licensed property. And then you got you know, Boom and what's the other publisher that starts with a B? It's like right after Boom or right before Boom. I forget, but you know, they do a lot of licensed properties. Seemed like it was Boom. Who? Boom and shoot. If I had a previews, I could tell you who they were. Well, now that's bugging me. Boom and they were right together in previews. Boom and somebody else. See, people everywhere. People everywhere listening to this podcast are screaming at the it's so and so.
They can't do sit there and type in B words until a B comes out of it.
I'm just going to type the Diamond Comics list of publishers. Hopefully I can get it. Could be wrong. Might not. This is what makes for great radio right here. No, they just took me to the site.
I mean, I know Red 5 comes out still.
Dynamite! It's not, doesn't start with a B, it starts with a D, but they're very close.
Yeah,
Boom and Dynamite. I knew I'd get it. I knew I'd get it. They're right there together. They're right there together in previews, Boom and Dynamite.
Except they're not. They're separated by all the C books. And then all the
there's D no publishers that start with C.
You want to make a bet?
They're the two publishers in that portion of the book that both have full page spread ads. Everybody else has just got the little sub listings.
Well, it's funny, if you looked on the Diamond previews lately, they've listed IDW as its own thing now. So it's not mixed in with all the other stuff now, which is kind of crazy.
Well, it's not in the back of the book. It's in the front part of the book, right?
Well, you know how it's listed. It goes DC, now it goes IDW, Marvel.
Mm-hmm. So where's it at now?
It's like third one down. Well, fourth, because you have DC.
Oh, you're talking on the weekly ship list.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because it starts with Dark Horse, and it goes DC.
DC.
DC Collectibles, and then IDW.
IDW.
Then Marvel.
Then Marvel. Then all the other publishers. Yeah.
Which I find funny.
Well, IDW finally got big enough, because they were in the back with everybody else. They finally got big enough to have their own subsection.
Yeah,
of the
that's
book.
What I just find hilarious.
IDW had a lot of properties when I was reading heavy that I liked, you know, especially the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle and Transformer properties. I liked those stuff a lot.
They still have those.
And their Star Trek stuff was good.
They still have that. But it's all reboot continuity.
Yeah, I know. I lost a lot of interest when it all went, you know, Chris Pine, Kirk, and it's just,
Well, yeah, but that's also one of the publishers that J.K. works for, too, and he does, like, the covers to all the Star Trek versus Planet of the Apes.
Star Trek does a lot of crossovers these days.
Well, the
Star Trek, Doctor Who.
Well, yeah, he does those, too, but, like, this is, like, old Kirk and all those, the Planet of the Apes, so,
okay. All right, well, that kind of wraps us up. There's one other thing I would mention real quick before we get done is I sat down and watched an anime series with my kids over the last week or so, and it was called Sword Art Online. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of it, but it's on Netflix. If you get a chance to watch it, it's pretty good. The gist of it is, you know, for anime, the gist of it is like there's this, it's like the year 2025 and video gaming, MMORPGs have got to the place where you don't play them on a computer screen or on a console. You play them in virtual reality. So you put the virtual reality helmet on, you lay down on your bed, and you're transported into a virtual world. And while you're in this world, you play, you know, as whatever the setting of the world is, whether it's a, you know, like a Lord of the Rings type setting or a futuristic star battle setting or whatever the case may be. Well, this Sword Art Online game that just came out, it's brand new, is basically, it's kind of like a Skyrim, Middle Ages, you know, dark magic, swords and sorcery world, right? And you go into this world. Well, there's something like when the game is released, there's something like 200,000 players all log in the first day. And when they all log in, they all are walking around this world. It's an expansive world. You can start your own business. You don't have to actually fight battles and beat the game. You can just wander around in the game and do stuff, right? So there's the whole villages of people that just are engaging in commerce and business and trading and doing what they do. And, you know, there are people who go out and fight ogres in the forest, and they come back and they trade their pelts for things. And it's just like any other Skyrim-type game that you would be in, but it's virtual reality. The people are actually, like, there in that world, right? And what happens is it kind of gets, when they all log into the game at the same time, they all kind of play through the first day. And at the end of the day, everybody's kind of like, well, it's been a good day, right? And so they all go to log out. Or a good portion of them does. Of course, you got some people that play forever, right? But a good portion of them go to log out, and including the main character of the story, whose name is...
They can't do it.
You can't do it. You can't get out. And it turns out that whoever designed the game is like this evil, vindictive person who won't let you log out. And so you're there you are. Your body is at home with this virtual reality gear on. It jacks you in Matrix style. Not necessarily that there's a plug in your head, but that your brain is connected to the system through the virtual reality gear that you have on your head. And because of that, what the game master comes in and reveals to everybody in the game is that if you die in the game, you die in real life. Your brain will terminate. And your life function will cease. And nobody can unplug you from the headgear that you're in, or else it will kill you. And so everybody that's in the game is stuck in the game. And so the main character ends up spending the next 2 years of his life in this game, leveling up, making friends, joining guilds, and figuring out how to beat this game. It was really, really good. It sounds kind of stupid, but it was really, really good. It's called Sword Art Online, and by the time that you get to the end of the second season, then it's over. My kids were like, we can't believe it's over. That was so awesome, because my kids watched every minute of it with me. So it's appropriate for like teens and kids, and I recommend everybody give it a shot. Sword Art Online. It's an anime, so...
Yeah, from what I understand, it's quite popular.
All right. That's all I got for tonight, Charlie. That wraps up episode 381. You got anything else?
Nope.
We're really sorry that nobody wanted to come in and be on tonight's episode with us. They all suck. Just put that out there. So you know who you are if you suck. And I don't suck because I'm here doing the show. But if you're not on the show, then you suck. So, if you could have been here, if we extended you an invitation and you didn't show up tonight, you suck. So, that's all I'm saying. You know who you are. We don't have to say anything. So, that's pretty much it. You know how to get a hold of us on the social media and everything. Let us know if you liked the show, if you didn't like the show. Twitter probably is the easiest place to get a hold of us instantly. Twitter.com/John Loveless for me. X-Onslaught for Charlie. You can also tweet the show at twitter.com/AR_podcast. You can catch us on the Facebook by just looking up John Loveless or Charlie Huffman, or the Alternate Reality page on Facebook, and chat with us there and tell us what you think of the show or what you're watching or liking right now on movies, TV, comic books, whatever the case may be. We would love to hear from you. Anything to add to that, Charlie?
No.
All right, then that is it. We are done. This is episode 381 in the books. Until we find a reason to get together again, we'll see you on the interwebs. You guys have a good night. We're out.
I started reading comics because they looked tight. Stopped believing in them because of real life. Picked them up again because I chose to believe the world could be more than what I see around me. And sure, maybe my cape doesn't fly and bad men win. Even good men die, but one small spark could light the whole night, so one small life could fight the good fight. Heroes aren't just childhood dreams, grown men and women still need to believe. I can't read your mind or fire a laser beam, but if we can conquer our fears, how much more could we achieve? I'm not a captain who carries a shield around him. If bullets hit me, I won't heal around them. But I've learned a hero isn't about being super. We become heroes because of what makes us human.
How do I do that? How do I fly when I'm so low?